4:52 a.m. South African time. It's a beautiful, mashallah, Monday morning. And of course, we welcome back our beloved, senior, respected, honorable Fadilatul Ustad. He was in Durban the weekend. He's back with us. It's the 6th of Sha'ban, 1444. 24 days left for the Holy Blessed Month of Ramadan. Ustad, welcome to the Q&A this early Monday morning. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan to our technicians, Brother Junaid Khan and Brother Riyaz Hussain. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Today is the 6th of Sha'ban, 1444. With the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, today we focus on chapter 25, Suratul Furqan, verses 46 and 47. In our previous lesson, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala highlighted His Majesty, Authority, Sovereignty and said, O human being, don't you see how Almighty Allah lengthens the shade, the shadow, and you see the whole garden, the whole house, everything under shade? And then Almighty Allah, if He decreed, that is, if hypothetically, conditional clause, He Almighty Allah could have kept the sun stationary and it would not move, that is Qudratullah, the power, authority, majesty of Allah. But Sunnatullah, the system of Almighty Allah, is we have sunrise, we have sunset with precision and accuracy for million, billion, trillion, zillion years. Only Almighty Allah knows. ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَا الشَّمْسَ عَلَيْهِ دَلِيلًا. Almighty Allah made the sun the evidence for that. Hence today's lesson, chapter 25, verses 46-47, ثُمَّ. Thereafter, subsequently, قَبَضْنَاهُ إِلَيْنَا قَبَضًا يَسِيرًا. Then we bring it nearer and nearer to us, step by step, degree by degree. So you see now the long, long, lengthy, lengthy shadows, that now they are decreasing, decreasing. And when the sun is at the zenith, you see that there's no shadow basically. So that is the power of Almighty Allah. Everything in creation, Almighty Allah will take it to the pinnacle, to the uruj, and then the decline, the sickness, the illness, the decay, and then the death of it. Therefore, every creation has to go through death. Kullu nafsin dha'ikatul maut. Every living being shall taste death. Kullu man alayha fan. And everything will perish. Kullu shay'in halikun illa waja. Chapter 28, verse 88. Everybody, everything shall perish except Him, Almighty Allah. He was, He is always living. Huwa al-hayyul qayyum. He is ever living and self-subsisting. AK 255, Ayat al-Kursi, chapter 2, and verse number 255. وَهُوَ الَّذِي, who is Almighty Allah? Almighty Allah showing us His absolute control, authority, sovereignty, majesty over the universe. وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ. He, Almighty Allah, has made and created for your benefit. for your benefit, O human being. You are the masterpiece of Allah's creation. Ja'ala lakumul layla libasa. Almighty Allah has made a night for you, covering. When we wear libas, our clothing, so in front we covered, at the back we covered, on the sides and flanks we are covered. So the night everywhere is darkness. And what do we see? Then during the night we were tired, we want to retire. Wannawma subata. And the night time you make subat. Subat means qata. You stop your work, you stop your eating, drinking, everything. And now you are sleeping, resting, retiring. And that is for your retirement, your resting period. وَجَعَلَ النَّهَارَ مُنُشُورًا. And Almighty Allah made the day so that we raise up and rise up. We become active and proactive. He Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, Allahumma barik lana, Allahumma barik li ummati fi bukuriha. O Almighty Allah, give this ummah of mine that barakah, blessing in the early part of the morning. So mashallah, our team here, Mauna Arafat, Brother Junaid Khan, Brother Riyaz Hussein, 4 o'clock the year, and before 4, mashallah, and Allah to reward them. Ameen. So in that way, we find that the barakah and the blessing come. This is authentic hadith in Tirmidhi. So whether it's our shop, our job, our work, try and go early. What we can accomplish in the early part of the morning, we can never do so in the remaining part of the day. Let us take you around the world with news, views and interviews. Let's start first with the haramis, with the real terrorists and with the real Hitler's children. These are the sequence of events. Saturday night, you must remember, after the Sabbath and the Sabbath finish, 160. All this news, you want reference, go to Haaretz. You just go to Haaretz, it's free newspaper, they give you half the article. You want to subscribe, they will give you the entire article. But if you read the half also, you will get the story. So 160,000 Jutlas and Jews and Zionists and them were marching, remember. Ehud Barak, the former prime minister, was addressing his people in Tel Aviv, and there were other marches and other protests. That is Jutla versus Jutla, Jew versus Jew, Zionist versus Zionist, because he, Bibi Netanyahu, Smotrich, and you must remember Itamar Ben-Gvir, and these thugs and terrorists, right-wingers, they want to overrule the Supreme Court, a verdict by a simple majority, and they want to appoint the judges in the courts and so forth, so Netanyahu can be saved from prison and jail and so forth. So the world is saying that how they imploding the Jutlas, and this is the 8th consecutive week. And go read, you must remember, the Haaretz, they say that Benjamin Netanyahu is no more the legitimate prime minister. He is no more the legitimate prime minister of Israel. He is the terminator of Israel. All these words you will find there. And they say the people who are close to him, he's under so much pressure, intense, immense pressure. His mood swings are becoming apparent. His statements are becoming apparent. He's not a coherent and a confident person anymore. So this is the curse of Almighty Allah on this war criminal. So that was the Jutla. I'm against Jutla. You must remember, Jew to Jew. So we must be clear on that issue there. Then yesterday, remember, in Aqaba. So if you know anything about Jordan, they have the Aqaba there, very beautiful place. The Palestinian Authority, who in our view and opinion are real sellouts, and they have sold out the Palestinians. Nevertheless, they were met with the Israeli authorities there in the Aqaba in Jordan. And remember that in a case like this, what will happen is that they agreed. There was an agreement that there will be a freeze on settlements for 4 months or more. Some news says 4 months, some say 6 months, that there was an agreement between both parties. And then you must remember what happened, that these people, yeah, the Jutlas, the Zionists, they murdered our people, 11 of them, including a child in Nablus. So our Palestinians, mashallah, Allah reward them. They dispatched, you must remember, two settlers, two Zionists, to terrorists, straight to hell. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We're very proud about the Palestinians, and they're 100% justified. You must remember, one settler, one bullet will settle the issue. So that is what they have to do. Immediately after the two parties agreed at Aqaba in Jordan, we find Netanyahu tweeting, and he says that there will not be a freeze on settlements. Why? Because Smotrich, who is in charge of the settlements, remember, said, no, we will not delay the settlements by one day also, and I don't know what agreement they're talking about. So the question I'm posing to every Jew, every Zionist, every terrorist, every person of peace, that when Russia invaded Ukraine last year, 24th of February, and remember 2022, 1 year has passed now, so majority of the countries have called the Russians war criminals, invaders, guilty of war crimes over a period of 1 year. So why don't you apply the same analogy for the terrorists, Hitler's children, who invaded Palestine in the year 1948 and before, and massacring the Palestinians for the past 75 years? Is that not consistency? Therefore, we say clearly, loudly, and boldly that the Israelis are real terrorists of the world. They are the cancer of the world. And the sooner they get dismantled, the better for the world. Remember this. So what do those haramis, what do those terrorist Zionists do? They went into Hawara next to Nablus. They burned the houses of the Palestinians. They burned the shops of the Palestinians. They burned the cars of the Palestinians. They went to some houses where the families were inside and wanted to burn them alive and so forth. All this is in their news. So remember, that is why we say there's no peace, remember, with Israel. And you, the Arab haramis, you, the Arab murtads, you, the haramis, the traitors and ghaddar, Saudi Arabia, Emirates, King of Jordan, King of Morocco, and Bahrain, and remember that Egypt, all murtads, all ghaddar and traitors to Islam and the Muslims, the Palestinians are giving their lives, and you bootlicking this Israelis, aren't you ashamed of yourself? So remember this. Therefore, we need to be clear that Palestine is a non-negotiable issue, nor is Masjid al-Aqsa for sale. West Bank, what happened to America? Why can't you rein in all these guys here that you speak of two-state solution, which is dead, but now they want to steal that small portion also and occupy it? So where is, you must remember, isn't occupation terrorism? So, but you, America, are occupying parts of Syria. So India is occupying part of Kashmir. So all this occupation, Morocco is occupying Western Sahara. So wherever occupation takes place, we must be clear that all these, here, you must remember, are acts of terrorism. May Almighty Allah destroy the Zionist entity. And there's no other way. Remember that, as Sheikh Yusuf Qardawi used to say, La bil qalam wa la bil kalam. No sense writing and no sense speaking, negotiating. The only language the Jutlas and the Zionists understand is jihad. You have to make it an armed struggle, and one settler, one bullet will settle the issue. Let's go quickly to other news. There's a new struggle looming there. One side is China, and on the other side is America and India, and that is, remember, regarding Nepal. So Nepal is a very, very important, Kathmandu and all these areas there. So UK, remember what Sunak there, things are going negative downhill. There's a shortage of fruit and vegetable, and that is becoming a reality. Germany, one of the most powerful countries there in Europe, the energy crisis has cost them $1 trillion already. Iran is ready. Listen carefully to this. Iran is prepared and ready to export cars to Russia. They're just waiting for the go-ahead from Russia. Now listen to this one here. I told you, these Jutlas, these Americans, these non-Muslims, they are so coward and so scared to die. The Pentagon wants to make it difficult for their armed forces to commit suicide and kill themselves. So can you imagine? They're fed up. They got the good threshing in Afghanistan, and now they have to fight here and there, all illegal wars, just for the white hegemony and for the American hegemony and for the dollar to remain strong. But innocent lives are lost on both sides. So we must remember they want to give them that. Few Americans are thinking that, remember, Ukraine will beat Russia. So at least some of them are coming to their senses. Majority are saying Ukraine can't beat, you must remember, Russia. Smotrich says there'll be no delay in settlements and no freeze. These are the real right-wingers, the real terrorists, and the world is seeing them. And then you must remember this. This is the Haaretz newspaper. Full apartheid is now implemented in the West Bank. We as South Africans know what is apartheid. And let me tell you, the apartheid in Israel, occupied Palestine, is 100 times worse than what we experience here. So for them to shoot any Palestinian, they will just say he's a terrorist, whether it's a female, whether it's a child, whether it's a male, anybody. And remember Tunisia, another murtad there, Kais Saied, remember that, Saied Kais, whatever his name, he has, you must remember, arrested Ghannouchi. I met Ghannouchi personally, the senior Ghannouchi. So these are the people that are fighting for the Muslims and for, you must remember, Islam. And this person here is murtad, propped up by the French and by the Western powers. At least that much you should know what's happening in the world. Then you must remember in India they have arrested a person there, you must remember, on corruption, a very senior person, and his name is Sasodia. So that's a big story there in India. Now listen to these Saudis. Can you call these people Muslim? This government, MBS, Murtad bin Shaitan. Yesterday they had a spaza. You understand? Not a real boxing match, because there was no, these chaps are not boxers, these are more clowns and actors. And how much was given to them and spent? $20 million for boxing yesterday there in Saudi Arabia. And huge protest in Mexico. So may Almighty Allah Jalla Wala bring peace to all of us based on justice. And look at Sunak and his people. Listen to this one, last one. In England and Wales, you must remember that to get married for that male and female, you must be 18 years old or above. You're 16, 17, you want to get married, even with parental consent, they're not allowing it, they send you to jail and so forth. So I pose this question to them. If the guy is in school, he's in matric or in varsity and so forth, and they're 16, 17 years old, they want to commit fornication. Is that legal or not? Fornication, homosexuality, all legal. But to get married, no, you must wait till the age of 18. Curse be your system, the satanic system introduced by the Sunak government. So shame on you.
Well, I've got Sister Tilly. She says, good morning to you, AK, and to the team. Why did Prophet Muhammad risk his life many times for his beliefs? Please make me understand. But majority of your people go against Prophet Muhammad. Thank you, AK. You are the man of God. Ustad Tilly.
Thank you. Good morning, my sister Tilly. You must understand the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was selected by Almighty Allah to be the mercy to the entire universe and creation. You need to refer to the verse, chapter 21, verse 107. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that we have not sent you, O Messenger, peace be upon you, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but as a mercy to the universe and to the creation. So he came with the international global message for all times and all places. That's number one. Number two, 100%. Today you find ordinary people, politicians, they say we are prepared to die for our cause. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, had a mission. and was prepared to make every sacrifice for that. The enemies tried to bribe the master, peace be upon him, in different ways, but he rejected and he totally refuted all their advances, and he said, we will bring the new world order, and that is Islam more than 1400 years ago. That is true what you are saying. Majority of the Muslims today, they have moved away from the real teachings of the Islam of Almighty Allah and of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Therefore, my sister Tilly, you have come on later on the scene. I always say, I am not here to defend Muslims. I am here to propagate Islam and defend Islam. So that is where we stand, my sister Tilly, on that issue.
Subhanallah. Somebody says, Ustad AK, the only way to sort out tinpot dictators, MBS, etc., is to call a boycott and sanctions against them. Ustad.
Remember, I don't understand what you mean by boycott and sanctions against them. If you mean we must tell our people not to go for Hajj and Umrah, on that we don't agree. People have to go for Farz Hajj. Yes, you can tell me, you can tell other people who have performed Hajj that who have performed Umrah, they must not go. So yet we can't say if they go, they are committing a sin and so forth. You can just discourage them. So that'll there is fine. But you can't say call a boycott, nobody must go for Hajj and so forth, even though Hajj is compulsory. So obviously that is not permissible Islamically. Next one is this. You know the Saudis will use their financial power. They're bidding now for the 2030 World Cup with Egypt and Greece. And you know that they just buy their way. That's United States of America will use their money, and they will give them encouragement. The Western powers will use their money, so they use that financial muscle, and then the boycotts, nothing will work. If there's a country that needs to be boycotted and sanctions and all that applied, and there must be embargoes on it, is the apartheid terrorist Nazi regime of Israel.
You got a new listener, Ustad. I'm almost 18 and I inherited $3.5 million. Can I live off this for the rest of my life by investing it? My name is Bill. I follow your program on internet. Keep it up, Ustad.
Thank you, my brother Bill. You are almost 18 years old. I'm not sure whether you are a South African or foreigner. That does not matter, but why I'm saying that, we have a wonderful saying in Afrikaans, in the Dutch language, "Een manse dood is ander manse brood." So your father or mother passed away, and now you inherited more than $3 million. So obviously you can invest it, you can sit on your laurels, think of Hadi and whatever, you don't have to work. But is that really what you want to do? When there's so much human suffering in the world. So you, my brother, my advice to you will be this. You in the prime of your life, you're 18 years old, you still have to settle down, you will become parent, you will look after your children. So certain amount, 10 million or whatever you got there, you understand, in 10 million rand. So anyway, that your 3 million you got or whatever, so one third of it keep for yourself and your family and so forth, that to come. The other one third, you can invest it and so forth and so on. And the one third, you give it out there to Turkey, to Syria, to Libya, to Palestine, to Afghanistan, wherever human beings, Muslim or non-Muslim, are really, really. See Africa. How many thousands of people don't have water, brother? So Biden is here in Kenya and so forth. So one of the biggest challenges they are facing is the acute shortage of water. So that is what you should do, one third for yourself, one third for your investment, and one third for charity. That is my advice to you, brother Bali.
Bill, yes. He says, my name is Stephen. All my friends are Muslim. Give me a Muslim name so I can blend in. What is the procedure of changing my name permanently? AK, Ustad.
My brother, his name is?
Stephen.
Stephen, even and Stephen. So anyway, my brother Stephen, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Inna habbal asma ilallah, Abdullah wa Abdurrahman, the Hadith Sharif mentioned in Tirmidhi. So we suggest for you to blend in, you choose the name Abdullah, the slave servant of Almighty Allah, or Abdurrahman, or the slave of the one who is the most beneficent, the most gracious, and so forth. But my brother Stephen, one advice I want to give you. You can change your name to that of a Muslim, but you must tell the people, my name is a Muslim, but I'm not a Muslim as yet. Inshallah, Allah's mercy will come, and then I will embrace Islam, not from the tip of my tongue, but from the inner recesses and from the bottom of my heart. But you want to change your name, so that's a starting point. We got no problem with that. Tell your Muslim friends to call you Abdullah, Abdurrahman, Yusuf, Ibrahim, Dawood, Suleiman, whatever you want, my brother. So an easy name for them and for you to remember and pronounce.
I got somebody from Newcastle says, Mufti AK, your du'as are powerful. Now we have a Muslim brother who got elected for ESCOM. So maybe no more load shedding, Ustad.
I told you all, you must remember that ESCOM, we had a Muslim brother. I think his name is Ghalib Qasim or something. So anyway, Allah Ta'ala make easy for him. You see, the writer made some bombshell revelations there. He said some ministers came to him and told him, no, you must cover up certain things. We want to eat a little bit, you understand? That's all the ministers are good for. Eat and drink and then. Can you see? Talal, the minister, she got generators for the ministers. Millions and millions. Sure. They're earning millions. They pay hardly anything for anything. When we made a big, huge and cry, you and cry about the electricity and water and so forth. So then they started paying after they were humiliated and disgraced. Now they put generators for them and so forth. Whilst 80%, 90% of the public, you must remember, are suffering and so forth. So my advice to you, Brother Ghalib Qasim, I don't know you, but if you want to really serve the nation, then you must speak the truth and be just and don't get caught up with the corruption. You know the politicians, how corrupt they are, the criminal activities. So don't side with any party. Say, yeah, you are here to serve the nation. And in that way, Allah's help will come to you. But if you are going to get involved in all these syndicates and criminal activities and corruption, then you also will become disgraced and so forth. See the writer that now he exposed everything. So we must always, sir, I always give you the message, speak the truth and stand for justice.
Allah. Subhanallah. I got Dr. Sabi says that how different are Riyadh and Jeddah? I'm going for a small holiday, for a small tour before Ramadan. Ustaz, Dr. Sabi.
So you must remember, so if you're saying you're going for a holiday to Riyadh and Jeddah, is beyond my understanding. If you said the question the other way around, then it makes sense. You say that you are going for Umrah, so you're going to spend two, three days in Makkah Mukarramah, 2, 3 days or 1, 2 days in Medina Munawwara. Because with the Umrah visa now, you can go the whole of Saudi Arabia. So you want to go to Riyadh, you want to go to Jeddah, so it's fine. Whether you're from South Africa or whether from other parts of the world, it's no problem. But my advice to you, doctor, as a Muslim, Jeddah, Riyadh got nothing to offer to you. Really speaking, you must remember, go to the Muslim places, the places of significance. So go for Umrah. My advice to you, go to Medina Munawwara first, spend 1, 2 days there, then go to Makkah Mukarramah, spend 1, 2 days there, and thereafter you go to Taif from Makkah. From Medina, you go to Khaybar, and 150 kilometers away. Then from there, you go further up, you go towards Tabuk, and Madain Salih. And there you will understand what the Quran is really speaking about. Taif is where the Prophet Muhammad Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam went, and he was pelted, and the blood Mubarak of the Master alayhi salatu salam oozing out and so forth. Yet the Master alayhi salam raised his Mubarak hands and cried to Allah, Allahumma inni ashku ilayk, I complain to you, Ya Allah. These people are not embracing Islam. Let their children and progeny embrace Islam. And that's what happened. And and Khaybar, the Jews were on the other side, 7th year after the Hijrah, in the month of Muharram. And remember, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu is known as Fatih Khaybar, the conqueror of Khaybar. So the big forts, I went to all these places with the help and mercy of Allah. And remember, the Jutlas were defeated, and that incident and that ghazwa and war till today inspires our children, our flowers in Palestine. Khaybar, Khaybar, ya Yahud, inna jaysha Muhammad sofa Yahud. We are the army of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are coming for you again. We're going to liberate Palestine, and we're going to kick you out, because you are haramis, you are invaders, you are squatters, and you are settlers there. And then remember, go to the place of Madain Salih. Wa ila thamuda akhahum saliha. So there, how Nabi Salih alayhi salam told his people, you demanding, not requesting, you demanding the she-camel. The she-camel will come, don't cause it any harm. They hamstrung it, they killed the camel, and then they rejected Nabi Salih alayhi salam. Fakazzabuhu faakaruha. They rejected, defied Nabi Salih alayhi salam. They murdered and hamstrung the she-camel. فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَسَوَّاهَا. Allah Ta'ala crushed them, decimated them, annihilated them because of their vices and sins. Don't go to Riyadh, Jeddah, just to, you know, go there for one day is fine. But much more important for a Muslim, go to Taif, go to Khaybar, go to Tabuk, go there to Madain Sali, all these places you got free access now with the Umrah visa. That's my advice to you.
I've got a Maverick. He says, AK, do Palestinians work in Israel? If so, what is the average salary? Maverick, Ustad.
You must remember, my brother Maverick, there's a newspaper called the Daily Maverick. So, my brother Maverick, you must remember this. Anywhere you want to go, and you're a Palestinian, you have to go through checkpoint, checkpoint, checkpoint. So, by the time you reach your work, you must remember you're tired, exhausted. And then, what money they get is pittance. You must remember, few shekels they will get. They are one of the most oppressed people in the world. Gaza, you know, they can't even come out from there. 2 million people, 16 years, the biggest open prison in the world. So where is the Western world? Where is United Nations? Where is United States? Where is United Kingdom, France, Germany, all these haramis who are an accomplice in the crime of supporting Israel? Therefore, they get away with murder, literally, and so forth. The Palestinians are treated as third class, fourth class, fifth class citizens. You know, my brother Maverick, if you were born in South Africa, and from 1948 right up to 1994, remember we had apartheid here in South Africa, and before that also, but it became law and all that from 48 after the Nets, the Nationalist Party took over and so forth. So we were second class, third class citizens, Indians, Africans and coloureds and so forth. But what's happening there, remember, go and study what happened in Hebron. I visited Hebron 5 times. Every time we went to Hebron. So remember, now deserted totally. And remember, the houses, the shops of the Palestinians closed because of these occupiers and terrorists, remember, and invaders and squatters. So that is what they want to do, to terrorize the Palestinians. But the Palestinians with Iman and Imani Kuwait, they have that faith and conviction. They say, we will fight till the end. You see, that is what will give them victory, not the arms and ammunition. They are trust in Almighty Allah and their faith and conviction. Then comes the arms and ammunition.
I see Kevin. He says, my name is Kevin. How come your Q&A is so different compared to other radio stations? They don't speak facts. Kevin, who started?
People today are bootlicking. Remember, write it down. Big B, you see? Bootlicking. You look at the Arab regimes, Muslim countries, our Muslims themselves, that they more interested in camouflage, you must remember. You tell them to speak against corruption, they only silent. Tell them to speak against knowledge, you must remember the Jutlas, the Zionists, they are silent. Tell them to speak against the Kuffar Shias, the people who are swearing, cursing, the greatest companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the honorable wives of the Master, alayhi salam, they are silent. So that is the problem, my brother. Everything comes with the decree of Almighty Allah, not with your degree and my degree. That is the faith conviction we must have. Last question.
Somebody says here, Raymond, he says, good show, AK. Is South Africa a good place to live? Please be honest, Mr. AK. Raymond Ustad.
You know, Raymond, I'm always an honest guy, but Raymond, give me that much at least, you understand? So I try to give you my honest opinion. Okay, I give you a story, quick story.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when people ask me for my opinion or verdict, I give you a candid opinion and verdict. C-A-N-D-I-D. Not a candied. You know your children, you give them candy. You understand? Sweets. I don't believe in that. To give you a candied opinion and verdict. To curry favor, no. So I myself, I will not move to any country, Muslim country, Arab country, Saudi Arabia, anywhere, never. Inshallah, we will stay in South Africa. Allah alone knows where we will pass away. Obviously, we make dua that we must pass away in Makkah, Medina, Medina, Makkah, and so forth, Aqsa. Allah Jalla wa'ala take us there at the time of our death, and we pass away with Iman and Islam. You see what we have in South Africa, this show that we have now, this program, no Muslim country, no Arab country will allow it. No Western country will allow it. You must remember that they will impose upon you certain restrictions and so forth and so on and all these type of things. Therefore, you, South Africa, in the positive light, I agree with you. We have crime, we have corruption, we have cater deployment, we got the biggest amount of potholes in the world, and one of the worst infrastructures as far as power energy goes. But remember, just draw a comparison with other countries and see America. One side, California, the floods are there. On the snow is there and so forth. On the other side, Texas, the heat wave is there. So my brother, we have a lot to be thankful for. Okay, 8:30 to 9 today, inshallah, we're discussing Swaziland. And then in the tafsir, inshallah, today we start with Surah Al-Nashra. And 2 to 2:30, our trip to Natal, where we went and so forth. And then 8 to 10, inshallah, tonight, Mona Arafat, Atia, and myself with the live Q&A. Inshallah, Al-Aziz. Barakallahu fiqh. Salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.